This is The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield from The Lynn Group. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Michael provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Mike Mansfield. Boy, oh boy, first and foremost, hope everyone had a wonderful Easter holiday weekend and break. It was nice that the sun came out here locally in Ventura. It was a beautiful day yesterday. So obviously, though, we all wake up this morning to more headlines, more drama. The stock market's down in the moment. I'll kind of touch on it in a minute, you know, what it's all about, because it's really just headline driven this morning. A little tiff, we'll say, between the president and the Federal Reserve president. So two presidents are having opposing opinions. What I thought was interesting, though, over the weekend, last week we started having earnings coming out. So this is a big week for earnings. We have 100 S&P 500 stocks that are posting earnings this week. So as much as we have headlines and chaos and tariff wars and blah, 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 we're also fighting over the data points of earnings coming out. And as those earnings come out, there's going to be a lot of uncertainty associated with the earnings, because one of the things that companies, it appears, are starting to do is they're starting to give rather diminished guidance for the year, because they're saying, hey, with uncertainty of not knowing what policies are, not knowing what tax laws, not knowing what the tariffs are going to do, we're just not quite sure how this year is going to shape up. But a couple interesting things did come out. You know, let me pop it up on the screen here. So Bank of America had their earnings. And those were pretty entertaining, because they came out. Actually, financial companies have been doing really well. We like looking at financial company earnings because they hold all of the tea leaves. They hold all of the lending. They know all of the consumer spending. They know how much people are accumulating on credit cards and how much interest they're paying and all of that kind of fun stuff. And so, you know, it says here on the screen, it says a surprising response about recession. And so last week when Bank of America came out, blah, 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 let me scroll down to where it says it. Jeez Louise, how do you scroll on this thing? Here it is right in the middle of the page. Basically, the CFO of Bank of America said that they do not see a recession on the horizon. And you're like, well, that's weird, because the mainstream news keeps telling me that we're in a recession. The recession has begun. But Bank of America's argument is, hey, look, we're a major financial institution. We deal with a bajillion different people's finances. The consumer is spending. The consumer is active. And since 70% of our GDP is consumer spending, we don't see the recession coming. As I was sitting here getting ready to make this show on the TV right over here, one of the big head guys over at Wells Fargo is on, says the exact same thing, says, actually, you know, based on all of our hubbub, we don't see a recession coming either. So it is interesting to have very, we'll say, big financial institutions that hold a lot of, we'll say, inside information on the idea of consumer spending habits, savings accounts, things of that nature, and they don't see the math shaping up just yet. So I thought that that was at least positive and optimistic. You know, now we kind of enter some of the headlines, right? So since last week, the president started harping on the Federal Reserve President Jerome Powell, saying, hey, we need some rate cuts. Some of his argument was, you know, you look at what the Federal Reserve's mandate is, get inflation under control and then control the labor market. And so the administration's opinion is inflation is under control. And there's a lot of different data points that they're using. You could look at oil coming down. Energy prices obviously have a dramatic impact on the future projections of inflation, because the cost of a barrel of oil then affects the cost of fuel, which then affects how much it costs to get your tomato to the grocery store. So the fact that, you know, oil not that long ago was $80 a barrel and now it's $60 a barrel or something like that, obviously that should be a national positive catalyst. You know, something is like the microcosm of eggs coming down dramatically is, you know, one of the other things that they're harping on. So in general, we've seen commodity prices overall falling, which is very favorable to the concept of inflation. What is then interesting if you take a step further. And one of the, I like to look at some economist websites. And so one of the economists that I follow, they put out all of the very, we'll say, live inflation data. And here's inflation data that obviously you can see runs back into the 90s. And CPI is the broad base inflation data, consumer price index. This is the one that us consumers really like to talk about. The headline in the news, we're always talking about inflation. The Federal Reserve doesn't love it. They use PCE, which is another variation of inflation. But this one is the very direct inflation that impacts us all. And so what you see here is you see two lines, the red line, the blue line. The blue line is current CPI inflation, consumer price index. And you can see right now it's at 2.4%. But there's some things that go into cooking that number that are problematic. The biggest one is shelter. So the way that shelter is calculated is it's a lagging indicator. And so it's very problematic because the value used in CPI right now for shelter costs might be artificially high as real estate has softened or rental rates have softened. Now, I realize when I bring this information to all of you, a lot of my clients are in California. A lot of the people I deal with here are locally, even in Ventura County. And we all struggle with these thoughts, right? We don't think egg prices are down. We don't think fuel prices are down. We don't think real estate and rent is down. And that's because we do live in a microcosm bubble. But obviously, we have to look big picture nationally at what these real trends are. But what's fascinating, the whole point of where this economist was going with this data point is, if you strip out shelter, understanding that it is problematic, you can see that real-time CPI without shelter in it is at 1.5%, well below the 2% goal of the Federal Reserve. And this is a component of where the president's argument is coming from, the administration's argument is, hey, look, inflation, in our opinion, is under control. We've seen all these commodities, all of these things roll over. Now we can see that, you know, barring the shelter thing, but if shelter is also a lagging indicator, that means that inflation should fall in the you know, preceding months. Hence, it's time to start cutting. One of the catalysts that the administration was using is that the European Central Bank has made 7 rate cuts since last September, where we've only done 3 or 4. I think it's 4. So why are we trailing the other big boys in the world? Obviously, rate cuts are trade-offs, right? You know, the idea is if we're going to stimulate the economy with a rate cut, it's because we're worried that unemployment is going to creep up versus inflation creeping up. Whereas the Federal Reserve, you know, their general argument right now is they're, you know, kind of sitting on the sidelines, you know, waiting to see what happens with inflation due to tariffs. It was fascinating a month or so ago, President Powell used the word transitory. Transitory is a very polarizing word at the moment, because he also used the word transitory in 2021 when inflation started to go up, and it didn't turn out to be transitory. It ended up being multi-years of high inflation. So we're going to see what happens here, but this is kind of what the debate of the day is what is inflation? What is the projection of inflation and who's going to win? So forget the president, forget the administration, forget Powell. What does the interest rate market think? And this is pretty wild, you know? So I show this to you, the CME group rate watch tool. So this is where all the biggest pros in the whole industry project where rates are going. It's surprisingly accurate. They're crunching all the data points that all the Federal Reserve boards would be using, and they're analyzing what they think. And so basically what this is saying on this first picture is we have a May 7th Fed meeting where they could make a rate cut projection. At the moment, there's basically a 90% chance we're not cutting. So the probability is no rate cut in May. But then you go to June, and all of a sudden, these other bars start to pop up. And basically what this is saying, without me reading you each bracket of what the rate would be, basically this is saying in June, there's at the moment a 75% chance that a rate cut has occurred. Well, June's only, you know, at this point, it's less than 2 months away. So it's funny how Powell's saying one thing, the administration is asking for another, and the bond interest rate market is kind of crying foul of what the Fed is saying from the pulpit. You go to July, there's practically no probability that the rates are sitting the same. There's a 98% chance that we have cut and a 70+% chance that we've done more than one cut, and we've done 2 cuts by July. By September, it's all over. There's no probability that rates are the same. We have cut interest rates, and you know the mathematical probability at the moment, which is continuing to increase. So we've done 3 rate cuts by September. So it is interesting that, you know, in one scenario, inflation looks like it's under control. Therefore, that deals with half of the Fed's dual mandate, inflation under control. And now they need to focus on the labor market, which has, you know, been softening. We saw last month unemployment numbers starting to tick up a little bit. One of the things that has been interesting that I wanted to highlight is we all have to be very careful of the headlines, right? Headlines are, you know, I guess they're designed to mislead us. I don't know, but you know, they're certainly selling fear. But a lot lately, whether in client meetings or in the headlines on the news, I keep hearing this, hey, the dollar's pulling back, the dollar's collapsing, the dollar's losing value. We're really screwing things up on a global scale. In fact, you know, here was an article that was titled, Dollar Falls to 3-Year Low. So just the headline, that sounds really scary, right? This is denting consumer confidence or investor confidence. That sounds really scary. But when you scroll down and look at the dollar index since the 80s, and you see where we're at. So from the 3-year high, well, that 3-year high a couple of years ago was basically a 20-year high in and of itself. It had spiked up prior to 2022, probably with all the money we were spending in printing and creating inflation. And it's just kind of renormalized. And when you look at where the dollar index is sitting right now, it's already still sitting at a very middle of the road high point. You know, so the idea that the dollar is low, it is scary, it is offensive, I think is a little dramatic at the moment. The dollar is trending at a high watermark as it has historically. Every once in a while, you see there was a big spike in the 80s. You see there was a big spike, you know, around 2000. You know, so nothing too crazy. But in any case, I thought these were some good data points. I remain optimistic. I think that, you know, Trump is going through a very complicated negotiation process to, you know, do whatever he's going to do. And hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we hear of some great trade deals that are set up, certainly with Europe, maybe South Korea, Japan, maybe India. And so we'll see how these things play out. If you got questions, give us a call, 805-500-7035.
Thank you for listening to The Wealth Puzzle. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Michael Mansfield at The Lind Group. Call 805-500-7035 or visit them online at thelindgroup.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by the Lind Group Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of California. Insurance products and services are offered through the Lind Group, LLC. The Lind Group, LLC, and the Lind Group Advisors, LLC are not affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or enforced by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.